Episode 477, April 20th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Well, happy 420. Here from the Rob and Joe show for all you youngsters out there smoking the doobies.
It's my son James's birthday.
Oh yeah, happy birthday, James.
It's also Hitler's birthday.
Oh well, happy birthday, Hitler.
And so, it's also the day to go out and smoke if you do stuff like that. Happy birthday, who gives a fuck? Thanks.
I'm pretty sure me saying happy birthday, Hitler, will now be a drop. So I just said it again, too. So I canceled.
It'll be two of them. I'm not saying it.
Welcome to the show. Another week here in the quarantine. States are starting to open back up. So, you know, maybe Maryland will be getting back open here in the next, 2 to 3 weeks.
I don't
see Texas, South Carolina, Georgia.
But those are also very, very conservative states. Maryland is an extremely liberal state. And even though they have a Republican governor, he's a very, very left-leaning Republican governor. I'll bet there it's a while before Maryland's open.
Well,
I'm not saying it's good or bad.
They're going to have data to see. So,
yeah,
I mean, Sweden's been open for a few weeks, and the Volvo plant that closed is now, they're back doing business. So I guess whatever the decisions they made.
Can I interrupt? Restivo's calling me. You want me to pick it up?
Sure. Of course. Ahead.
Okay. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, shit. I didn't know I was on the air.
Yeah. Well, what's going on, man?
Nothing. Just about to make some Panda Express in a minute.
Oh, hell yeah.
But, I called to say happy holidays and everything.
Oh, thanks. What holiday?
What do you think today is?
Oh, 420. Oh, I gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you were calling to yell at me. Hey, I'm going to let you roll, dude. I'll call you back, all right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, what were we talking about? Hey, Robbie, pull Chad up, too. Sorry, what were we talking about? It was pretty important when Restivo called.
We were talking about the quarantine, the COVID-19. Hey, I got a question, Joe. Are you, and you too, Robbie, are you talking about this with your family and friends? I mean, like, you know, what's happening, your theories, where we're headed?
No.
What we've learned from this?
No, because here's why. It's too volatile subject. It's too volatile. So you just said, once we get the data, listen, are you out of your fucking mind? They're going to take whatever data they get and they're going to bend it to their will because people would rather be right than be helpful. If you've learned anything from this, that's what you've learned. So everything sits at the extremes, right? What's the matter? This isn't dangerous at all. Or, oh my God, everyone's going to die. And we can't apply any data or any logic to try to determine how to make sense of this. And it won't happen.
And I agree with what you're saying, and that's sort of why this is my overall complaint. In terms of just a fascinating story, and in terms of the effect this is having on the world, nothing since World War II has affected the world as much as this, right? This just from a story standpoint, this is the most fascinating thing that's ever happened in our lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many different things that you can look at, the way different countries handle it, how will this affect us going forward, what will more people be homeschooled, will we be changed as people, what's isolation doing to us, what's it doing to the economy, how will we – I mean, there's so many different things to talk about. And the fact that I feel like I go on Facebook and more people know about Tiger King than know about this situation.
Well,
it's just like – and you said it's too volatile – and you said something on Twitter about accepting other people's viewpoints. It shouldn't be accepting. It should be we should be wanting, yearning for them.
Right.
Because this is an interesting, fascinating story that we learn more little nuggets every day that we should be just soaking in and just learning and having theories and talking about it.
Well,
to paint someone as a villain or just automatically. It's like we have a whole election to say what Trump did wrong. We're in the middle of this right now. Why would we talk about what should happen 2 months ago? Why don't we talk about what should happen right now?
Yeah, and honestly, all that stuff, I tune it out. Because 99.9% of it is disingenuous. And even the deliverer, right, the messenger, they don't even know they're being disingenuous. Like, they don't know. Whoever it is, right or left, is wherever you sit, most people don't say, all right, let me weigh that. They don't. They listen to say, how do I refute that? It's a simple. Just look at Twitter. It takes 2 seconds to see. I've never, ever said, like I put that tweet up where I basically said, guys, they're not evil. And somebody came in to explain that they were.
Talking about people protesting? You're talking about?
Yeah, people protesting. And again, I've also said, hey, you could just be wrong, which I am all the time. It doesn't mean you're a horrible piece of shit. And most of the people that I meet in my real life are not bad people. But a lot of them think differently than me. It's just weird that we don't. I mean, how does compassion go? And I do think that comes from not being as accountable as you once were. Because of social media, you can say whatever you want to as wide an audience as you want to, without showing your face and without giving your name, right? Now, some people do that, but but you're not required to. And therefore, you get to say whatever you want. I put up that tweet, and basically I said, guys, listen, actually, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read it real quick. So the tweet said this. It said, people sacrifice safety for liberty every day. Sometimes these liberties are as innocuous as smoking a cigarette, but these are real decisions, not necessarily attached to nut jobs. Maybe I don't agree with them, but their points are not without merit, and you're not better than them. So basically, I'm saying, listen, just because somebody doesn't disagree with you doesn't mean they're a nut, but they also might be wrong, okay? They might be wrong, but it doesn't mean they're bad, and it doesn't mean they're a nut job. And people came in to explain to me that, no, they were bad. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what they did. They didn't say, well, listen, if you're willing to do this, this, and this, I would need to know more, but where's this all this one variable shit come from? Nothing happens for one reason. That's the dumbest thing that people could ever think. That if you think one thing, you're horrible. Now, clearly there are, yes, I think children are hot and I want to have sex with them. That makes you horrible. Okay. There's a drop for
yes.
Robbie, right?
Thank you.
Yes. But that exists, but not, I want to go back to work. Not,
of course not.
There are risks that I make. In to my own safety and potentially the safety of others to make sure that this economy runs. It doesn't make you horrible. And people don't say, well, wait a minute. What happens if this economy is shut down for 2 and 3 months? What happens to the people already who have already been laid off? What happened to those companies when they try to get started? Those guys don't have their jobs back. Like, there's things to factor. What about food? What are they going to have to? What about homelessness? The things that are attached to everything. Nothing happens for one reason. And if all you're doing is saying, by the way, you're right that if you never leave your house and never expose yourself to anyone else, you will not get this virus. That's pretty accurate. But that comes at a cost. And if you're not factoring that, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Take everything into consideration and don't consider and don't think that immediately if somebody doesn't say, I don't agree with exactly as you'd agree. I don't agree with you 100%, therefore you're not a good person. And that's, like, I see, you know, we talk about Dave Schofer on here. I can't even read his Twitter anymore. I can't read it. It's so it's such a selfish viewpoint. You know, every single person is just, you mock them and they're just this horrible person, right? And there isn't a lot of really humor in it. It's just to belittle. And I'm close to being done completely with him, right? Because it's just a frustrating thing to read where you have no compassion for those who don't think exactly as you do. And I'm reaching my end. I'm not kidding. I've already blocked Trump on Twitter, meaning the word Trump. So if you're going to shit on him or you're going to praise him, I'm not going to hear it because I'm just not interested. The other thing is that I don't know what reality is because everything is so skewed, and I'd like to know what I'd like to be able to form my own opinions, but I don't even know if that's possible anymore. I don't know if have the data.
I mean, you can look at the numbers, and it's obvious that if every scientist and every model was wrong, that doesn't mean these people were idiots, because that's not possible, that all over the world, they're all idiots. No, it's clearly we don't have a complete grasp of this virus yet.
Well,
so that's, you can't even argue that. You know, why did we think we'd need X amount of ventilators and we only needed a quarter of them? Why did we think X would die and so many have it? So, but we're learning this as we go. No one knows. Like I retweeted this comic, Dave Smith. I thought he had a great line. He said, "It's really unbelievable how many people have developed an emotional stake in believing the worst about this virus. They lash out at people for simply questioning how bad the situation is. They have a dog-like obedience to authority."
It's true. And look, I'm treating this with respect. And what I've decided to do is, because, you know, Katie has a strong opinion about it. I know you do, too. And they're not necessarily in concert, right? But for me, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just wait to tell what the governor says the rules are, because I'm not going to have any say in it anyway. So I'll just abide by the rules. And then once it's over, I'll see what's left, you know. But I won't be critical of people who were wrong with a moving target. How the fuck could you know? You don't know how fast it's going. You don't know how slow it's going. You don't know where it's starting. You don't know where it's ending. But if you don't get it right, you're a murderer. This is the craziest time. I can't believe how illogically we look at things now. And with what little compassion and kindness we do, it's so strange how sinister and evil we are about those who don't agree exactly as we do. It's strange, man. It really is.
It's harmful. It's because this is, if the fear is overblown, which I'm not saying it is, but if it is, and we're not getting all the facts about the truth about this, the more people are scared, the longer it takes to open up the economy. That has real damages, real tangible damages. I don't know what Katie's opinion is. I don't even know what anyone perceives my opinion is, other than I can only go by the numbers. That projections are projections, but what's happened is what's happened. That can't be denied. So that every number about New York that they thought would die and that didn't, that's can only be looked at as good news. Doesn't mean that we're out of the woods, but I mean, there's been multiple tests in multiple countries. You know, it's like a third of the people tested have the antibodies. So they've already had this with no symptoms. That has to be good news in the sense that more people have it, the less deadly it is. That can only be seen as
good news. No, you're 100% right. Yeah.
I think we should just run out and just act like we did on January 1st. But I don't know how anyone could look at that and not think that's promising.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know the answer. Over the last, since this, I guess, what have we been in for 6 weeks? I mean, how long have we been quarantined?
Yeah, since I think March 12th. So, yeah, about that.
Okay. So, let's say we get to the end of April and we've been inside for 2 months. I don't know. Are more people over those 2 months going to have are there going to be less deaths over those 2 months than there normally would have been? I got to imagine there's got to be.
There has been.
People aren't driving. The murder rate clearly is going to be down because you're not allowed to leave your house. Well, how do you view that, right? And that's another thing that I'm talking about is like there are liberties that you need and you sacrifice safety to have that liberty. And I don't know because I know some of this happens at other people's expense. If I decide that I'm going to go out, am I exposing myself to somebody who's more vulnerable? But they're not required to go out. And what you say, oh, they don't have the same liberty that I do. Yeah, they do. they can choose to take the risk based on having all these factors.
Going back out into society and acting more normal will lead to more deaths than if we stay in. That'll lead to more COVID deaths than if we wait a year until there's a vaccine, obviously. But waiting a year till the vaccine, to me, is thousands of times more dangerous and deadly to people, just to the bank accounts, but to their overall well-being.
Yeah, shutting the world economy down for a year.
And otherwise. We can't wait a year.
By the way,
at some point, we're going to have to go back out there. I don't know why we can't begin to have that conversation. Why would there be any fighting back on that? Doesn't mean – I'm not saying we're doing it on April 21st, but – and it's already being outlined. I mean, there's – the president said all that phase one, phase two, phase three, and all this stuff. We have to hit these certain benchmarks. But I don't get why people are – at some point, we have to get back to our lives. We can't wait until there's a vaccine. It won't – that would kill us all.
There's a – as people in chat are complaining that we're not making them laugh, so I guess we need to. And actually, the person that's complaining, his or her name is Thank You Card Neglect, which is a conversation. Was that last week when somebody said, hey, where the hell's my thank you card?
That was week before last.
Yeah, Katie was not happy. And as a matter of fact, she wasn't happy, probably because, they were right. But we had just gotten into a fight, too. So it wasn't a good, the timing was not good, right, mm-hmm. to deal with that. But yeah, so now I have 6 thank you cards that I need to send out that I need addresses for. But I don't know some of these people. Like Matt Colby's in there. I sent him a message to get his address. Another fan of the show, I'm going to say his first and last name, Merle. Merle sent us something. I asked for her address. But here's a name this person must be in chat. Do you know who Matt Bonner is?
I know. I've heard the name a lot.
Yeah, I have too, but I don't know who he is in chat. But anyway.
I think I can find him on Facebook.
Yeah, ask him for his address. And that's it. Those are all the people that are left. And then we got them all. But yeah, that didn't go over too well. It hit a little close to home.
Are these people worried about you mailing them a thank you letter that has COVID-19 all over it?
I think it's funnier if they don't get it and can shit on me, right? But now they're getting it because they've exposed. And by the way, I would do it. I would send the thank you card, but I'm not allowed to send the thank you card because, my penmanship.
Oh, I have the worst penmanship, I think, of anyone I've ever met.
My penmanship is bad, and yours is 1,000 times worse than mine.
That's a very fair assessment. Well, shout out to Die Laughing Productions and really to Eric Woodworth for leading this. We did a video that has over 5,000 views now on Facebook. Our Pop Goes the Pandemic, commercial for our song parody album that actually everyone involved with DLP and with the Rob and Joe Show, Robbie and Marcus Serta, all have a part of this video.
What did Robbie do?
He did the logo.
Oh, hell yeah. And then is Marcus the voiceover at the beginning?
Throughout the whole thing, yeah, the voiceover.
Oh,
yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was also my idea to make Come On Eileen one of the songs.
Some of the songs are COVID-19, which is Come On Eileen, Off the Roads, which is Country Roads, COVID Face, Poker Face, Positive for COVID, I believe that was the Limp Bizkit song,
yes.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, the Nookie, or Nookie, I guess. Yeah,
Nookie. Quarantina, I sang that one, as from Tequila.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. My favorite, Let Me Leave the House One Time, as opposed to Hit Me Baby One More Time.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Scared as Hell, from Good as Hell, classic Lizzo. And then this one, probably harder to guess off the name, Still Watching Netflix. Well, that was actually to the tune of Thriller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny. Here's the thing. It's hard. This is what, because Tommy and I talked about it. And he's like, hey, did you like it? And I go, I did, but it's hard for me to be objective because I care about all the people in it. I did think it was a little long. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, if we're trying to go viral and really, blow up, it probably needed to be in the 2 to 3 minute range. And then we could have come out with, Pop Goes the Pandemic 2 and just done. We could have made two different videos.
Robbie likes long videos, as you well know.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are always asking for videos to be shorter, and here Eric goes and makes a 7-minute one. But hey, it's a great job, Eric Woodworth. You took the lead on this. You did. I mean, you did all the work editing. I mean, obviously Tommy sang on it, and Justin's hilarious in it, and Sean. Everyone's involved in it. So I believe I have the least amount of lines.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad because I said Eric Woodworth's "Pop Goes the Pandemic." I didn't know Tommy was going to be singing in it, or I wouldn't have said that. I would have just said "Pop Goes the Pandemic."
Yeah, I heard Tommy's very upset at you.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
You know what? Let's take a break and we'll share some good Tommy Cimbazzo news. Rob and Joe should be right back.
This is your president, Donald J. Trump, endorsing the Rob Mayer Comedy Festival. It's a, it's a festival. And it's, from what I hear, I'm hearing things that there's going to be comedy. And Rob Mayer is a good guy. He's kind of a nonpartisan guy, which I respect. You know, he doesn't get into politics, but he also doesn't insult his president. And that I respect. You know, you don't have to always agree, but he's a nice guy. We're excited for the festival. I'm obviously somebody known for a tremendous sense of humor, great, powerful sense of humor. And I'm excited. I just hope, to be honest, that Joe Robinson isn't there, okay? We're not looking forward to Joe. I mean, he's got a young wife, and normally I respect that. But I'm still confused at how he pulled it off because I think he's one of the weaker people that we have. So go to the Rob Mayer Comedy Festival. I strongly endorse it.
That was actually funny.
Oh, excellent work, Mr. President.
Yeah, it was good.
So I said on the Facebook, I jokingly said, you know, I need money. I should start a comedy festival, which Chris White from the Improv was like, you should do it. The idea is that these festivals, you know, you send all this submission money in, you never make it, and they just make money. And if you get into the festival, nothing happens. You don't, your career doesn't change. Just a moneymaker. I don't even know if that's true, but that's the joke. So I decided, and I had Robbie make up a whole logo and stuff, and I had a whole Facebook Rob Mayer Comedy Festival event, and people didn't get the joke, which kind of upset me, because I'm like, I ended up having to change the name of it to I Need Money, So I'm Starting a Comedy Festival. But I thought in the description of it, you know, when I say there's a Dan Ninen class for clean comedy, when I said this is better than the Montreal Comedy Festival because we're on the internet and hundreds of and billions of people get on the internet as opposed to Montreal and only a few thousand go in the arena. People, like, they didn't get the joke. I had, you know, a jail do that Trump thing.
Did you get any submissions?
Jeff Hancock, send me money and then say, well, how do I, when does it start? I'm like, no, in the description, Jeff, you post your video on the Facebook page. Clearly, I'm not doing any work. This is clearly a joke. But my mom is sharing it like it's a real thing. I'm like, it was an epic failure on my part.
Benchwarmer in chat says, so a Rob joke didn't go over. Rude.
I know. Which that bothered me because it's like I'm a comic shitting on comedy festivals. This should be a universal thing.
Well, what's weird is, you know, I always get on my dad for, you know, not getting obvious jokes. I gave Robbie some crap last week for not getting an obvious joke. And we're about to talk about this. Tommy Cimbazzo from Die Laughing, he put out a tweet and it went viral. Or I guess it was a Facebook post originally. It went viral. Yes. Hey, I didn't get it. Katie had to explain it to me. I didn't understand it.
It's funny you said that because I didn't get it either. When I first saw him, I saw him when he posted it, and I didn't like it because I didn't understand it.
All right, well, read it.
I'll read it for you. Yeah. Just to let everyone know, I work in the 5G field. I was doing some work from home today, and I realized I had the unit set to the Give Corona setting instead of its default Make Everyone Gay setting. Whoopsie doodle.
I loved it.
Well,
explain it.
I still haven't heard this. Apparently, there's a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
The 5G gives you the coronavirus, which I've never heard anyone say.
Yes, I've also heard the theory that 5G feminizes men and reduces their testosterone.
I talked about that Eddie Griffin, the comic, is, you know, said that to a club manager that he thinks that he wears tinfoil around his head because to protect from 5G. So he's probably in that conspiracy theory. But this thing got picked up on Reddit, on cracked.com, their Facebook page. I mean, he's got, hundreds of thousands of views now.
That's one thing that's great about this quarantine is, you know, two of our friends have now become famous during this. They're leaving us in the dust. Both JL and Tommy have blown up.
It would probably help Tommy more if that was a Twitter or an Instagram post, but he's old school. He's on Facebook.
Jeff Hancock's in chat, and he said, "Yeah, you got me." He thought it was real, the Rob Mayer Comedy Festival. By the way, did you give the money back?
I mean, it's in my Venmo.
so no.
You know, the idea is that the people, I said you could pay whatever you want. I even made a point to saying I'm not even going to watch your video.
Right, I got
you. Submit. I said it's the most inclusive festival because you don't have to be a comic. You can just be somebody. The video doesn't have to be you doing comedy. I mean, I don't know how much more obvious I could have made it, but apparently people thought that I was really throwing a comedy festival in the middle of the quarantine.
Jeff said you deserve it for him not getting it, so don't give it back. But he also says Jeff's mom thinks 5G does give you COVID-19. I mean,
obviously this thing took off because those people are hearing this. So just because you and I clearly were the minority here, Joe, the post blew up because this is something that people have heard and are making fun of.
I worry about us being a little out of touch because you didn't even know about that giant black guy with the huge cock, which is everywhere. It's hard to miss that, but you weren't aware of that. Now we're both not aware of this.
I don't have text relationships. The only people that really text me are our DLP group and nobody texts me individually.
But I've seen.
And then we have our poker people, basically, our gambling people.
I've seen that guy 50 times on social media.
These sites, it's an algorithm, what comes up. It's not like you're just seeing everybody.
So maybe they know me.
I guess whatever you click on or like more, it tends to just see that.
They know I'm going to love this huge black guy with a 14-inch cock or whatever. By the way, I'm saying 14. I think it's bigger than that, actually. I saw one the other day, and it was a chocolate chip cookie, and every chocolate chip cookie was that guy. Every chocolate chip was that guy. And then I saw one, and then I don't know how the hell they did this, but it was broccoli, and all the little broccoli flowers on the top were all that guy. Somebody's got some talent.
Maybe I'm just out of touch. You're right. You know, I'm not sure. Is that a bad thing in this day and age?
Being out of touch? Yeah, I think it always is. It's weird. I see my dad. He often likes some of my jokes, which I appreciate because he's just supporting me, but I'm like, there's no way he gets this, right? Because it's not in his world. Like that 5G joke, there's no way my father's going to get that joke.
No, of course not.
I mean, it's not a criticism. I don't get it either.
Do they all get that joke? Are we just the two idiots, Joe?
I guess Jeff Hancock got it because he's the one whose mom thinks 5G gives you COVID-19. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe the other people.
This is good that we didn't get it, Joe. It means we're not surrounding ourselves online or in person with people that think this way. This is good for us.
Yeah, but I see all those like anti-vaxxers and stuff like that. By the way, there's a guy who's clearly anti-vax, but he said something I thought was a hilarious tweet. He said, I only met Bill Gates once, and he told me how he came up with Microsoft. It was about the size and condition of his penis.
Well, congratulations, Tommy. I don't know how you parlay that, but hopefully you will. Let's talk about, what did
I want to play that voice.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of Trump impressions, we have another, somebody left me another message with their best Trump impression. Joe, I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'm a big fan of the Rob and Joe show. It's a good show. The comedy is tremendous. I heard the show last week. I heard a terrible impersonation of the Donald by none other than Chris Wurstivo. Okay, look, Chris, I know you'd like to be the Donald, but you're not. Okay, I'm one of the richest people in the world, and Chris, well, you're broke. Okay, I'm super tall, and you, well, you're kind of a pipsqueak. Okay, you're shorter than Michael Bloomberg. You're almost as short as Fauci. Okay, Robin Joe show, good show. Keep up the good work. Just keep out the riffraff like Chris Wurstivo. Bye-bye.
Can I guess who that is?
Yes.
Please.
Well, first of all, it's the worst of the three.
This guy is so much worse than Chris Wurstivo in his impression.
Is it Eric?
No.
Incorrect.
Hmm.
That's a wow. Erica's going to be insulted by that.
Yeah.
Is it? Gee, I know this person, right?
Yeah, it's somebody who's been on the show, Joe.
Jeez, Dan Ninen?
Nope.
No. Does the chat have any guesses?
Chat, give it. Chat,
the
give
chat
us a guess.
Chat is going to guess right away.
Oh man, I don't even. Is it a comic? Can I ask that?
Yeah, this person does stand-up comedy.
Oh man. The way you said that leads me to believe they're not very good.
I enjoy this person's comedy. I'm sure that you do not.
Tom Myers.
No. It's somebody we like.
We like this guy. By the way, you also don't enjoy Tom Myers comedy, so that was a bad guess.
It's somebody that I got. They got to the show through me.
I got it. I know who it is now. It's Dr. What's his name? Dr. Gill.
Dr. Gill, yes.
Man, if I'm being honest, Restivo did a better impersonation, but I also think he was funnier.
Yeah, I mean, there was no bigly. I mean, even Chris Restivo's content was better than Dr. Gill.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's not good. That's bad.
Dr. Gill, just stop.
Who makes a better doctor, Dr. Gill or Chris Restivo?
Or Dr. Phil. People are going crazy because Dr. Phil offered his opinion. Now they're saying he's not even a doctor.
I know. Actually, I don't think he is a doctor, is he?
He has a it's crazy. So I'll just say this. By the way, you can not like somebody and also not like their opinion and them still be a doctor. So he has a doctorate.
Hey.
Right. Now, by the way, you can have a doctorate in the dumbest shit ever, but then you're a doctor.
Yeah.
It doesn't say PhD at the end of his name. So whether or not you agree or disagree with him, he has a doctorate. So, you know, what's your problem? You can just shit on his opinion. Doctors say dumb shit all the time. If you're a doctor, you're never wrong. But people
that was
lost
the other
their
thing
shit.
That happened this week. I got really mad at that stupid Dr. Oz outrage when people didn't understand what he said and then couldn't do basic math and then wanted to mock him when they're looking like an idiot. I actually had someone that we know on Facebook post that. And then I explained, no, that's not what he said. And then she said, no, it's right here. And then in the article that she posted, it said exactly what I said. So it was like, you realize that this is my point you just made for me. And then she ended up deleting it.
So Jeff Hancock says he holds a doctorate in clinical psychology, but he's not licensed to practice. Yeah, okay. Nobody's making that argument. By the way, do you want to know why he's not licensed to practice?
Because he doesn't need it.
Because he has a television show and he's worth $440 million. And so he decided, instead of practicing, right, instead of making sure that he's doing his, when you have to continue education, he didn't do that, and renewing his license. Instead, he talked to the Cash Me Outside girl, which I would too. By the way, I don't think money makes the world go round, although maybe it does. But I would definitely have the job that pays $440 million over the job that paid whatever it was before. It makes sense, right?
Absolutely. Let's talk about our Zoom meeting idea. We want to have a Zoom with some of our favorite people on the show. Are we going to commit to next Monday at 5:30, Robbie, Joe?
I'm willing to commit.
Sure. Okay. We can do it then.
So obviously all of you on chat, you know, that we know you're invited. We'd like to get Mac Bergson. Maybe we can get Dr. Gill on now that you've thrown down the Gill gauntlet.
We need your email address.
All right. I said we have to get Frank on, and Joe, you don't think Frank is capable, but I think he's the must.
Yeah, well, you know, Gramps can get on because he's been on. Now,
Gramps, I had him on the list.
Yeah, I don't know that Gramps is going to remember exactly how to get on. Robbie's still probably going to have to, you know, drive the ship or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who comes on almost always has the same problem, and that's clicking the audio so they now people can hear them for some reason. That's difficult to click the thing in the lower left-hand corner. But there are people that I worry about. Like, I really would like to have Chris Restivo on, but I don't know that he knows how to control himself enough to sit in. You know what I mean? Can you boot people from it, Robbie, if they can't control themselves?
I would assume so.
I think you can't. I think once you admit them, they're in. So, you know, I don't even know if we can mute them. So if people can't get their shit under control, then, you know, what are you going to do? You're stuck with them.
I think, Joe, you should invite some of your neighbors that we've talked about.
All right. So I'll invite Ryan, the neighbor, and I'll invite Devin and Nicole, the neighbor, and I'll invite the guy who has the wind chimes.
Yes. Robbie, maybe your black friend, Phil.
He would have no idea why he's on there.
I think maybe I could do that. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's pretty funny. Yeah, Dr. Gill, Scott Apple.
Yes. Mike Chamberlain.
Yes.
I don't think Mike Chamberlain, because he'd have to go to the library and it's probably closed.
No, I think he can do it.
Okay.
I had Mac and Scott Bergson on the list.
Oh, double Bergson.
So the Bergsons, Scott Apple. By the way, Scott Apple is allowed to talk as much as he wants. There's no governor on him. Whatever he wants to say, whenever he wants to say it.
We got to get Eric and Tommy and Justin and Sean. And we got to get Katie, obviously.
Yeah, I had all them on there. And, yeah, Justin.
Oh, yeah, they'll all do it. Jeff Hancock says, you can boot people on Zoom and mute them. You can choose whether they can unmute themselves. If you boot them, they can't come back.
All right, let's have a bet. How many minutes in until Restivo gets muted or booted?
Well, Robbie can't be in on this because he can boot him.
True.
So
I got to say, first of all, he'll show up late because he's so busy, Joe. But I think within 5 minutes, he's out.
Yeah. Well, Robbie gets overtly frustrated with him. Although I wasn't frustrated with him. I was frustrated with the white wrapper that he put on. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
So,
although Chris did say that this past episode was a masterpiece, and he said he played the episode for my dad. He was dying laughing. I've never heard him laugh so hard.
Really?
And if I remember correctly, we shit on Chris for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't.
I guess that's what gets Dad, Papa Restivo, happiest.
Dad likes it. Yeah. I guess he does. But yeah, all right. So, but Chris is a must. He's got to be on there. But you know, you can also send him a link during, Robbie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we can kind of
give him a heads up.
Well, not necessarily give him a heads up, but let everybody get their, you know,
bearings.
They get their bearings and all. Next thing you know, you hit him with a haymaker. What about, what's the guy from, why can't I think of it? The guy.
Tom Arnold?
No. You really dumb. What's that guy's name? Antoine Dotson. What about Antoine Dotson?
Yeah, we've lost him a long time ago. He kept asking us for money to come on after a while.
I think Antoine Dotson also, he's no longer gay, right?
Oh, what? Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. He was going to cure himself of being gay, I heard.
His words, yeah.
Something along those lines.
Matt Colby says, Jen Tisdale or that chick from the Blue Moon Cafe.
Oh, Jesus.
Stash.
I don't see that happening.
I have Benchwarmer on there already. I have his email. I've got Matt Colby and Marcus.
Oh, cool. All right. So it should be good. I'd like to talk to those guys. But really, Chamberlain, Restivo, Apple, Frank.
I'm not hopeful that Chamberlain's going to make it, even though he probably has his own computer and could probably get on Zoom.
He also has nothing to do. So don't.
Even without this, he had nothing to do.
Yeah, Robbie, he doesn't have anything to do because
I agree with you, Joe. But I haven't heard from him for 2 or 3 weeks now.
He can't even go to the library.
He can't go to the library. He can't go to the Roy Rogers where he does his magic shows. He can't do any birthday parties. There are no birthday parties.
Yeah.
There's no plays. You can't gather to do that. He literally can do nothing.
I thought the same thing, but he's not responding to me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, when you eventually get to him, make sure he knows he has nothing to do. Belittle him if you could.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Robin Joe Show.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know he was doing left to right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He's stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie? That if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So I watched Molly's game for the first time during this past week of quarantine. The Jessica Chastain true story poker movie. I enjoyed it. You've seen it, right, Joe?
Oh, Molly's game is a great movie. Let me tell you something. Do you know the Michael Cera character? Do you know who that is in real life?
I do know.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire. He's the one who's supposed to be the dick and also the best poker player.
Yeah, that makes it, you know, whenever something's true, it's interesting. But then when it's true and it's involving these are A-list people that are, you know, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck involved, Alex Rodriguez. It's written. I also think it's directed by Aaron Sorkin,
it's the guy who did The Social Network.
His writing.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And also, Jessica Chastain is, I mean, there might be somebody you like more, but that's as hot as you can get, right? Jessica Chastain.
I've always found her attractive, but she was stunning in this movie.
Oh, by the way, have you guys seen, are you guys watching What We Do in the Shadows? Are you watching that?
No.
No.
Do you guys have Hulu?
No.
Yes.
Okay. For the love of God, can you watch the movie and then watch the series?
What is it about?
So, here's who's in it. The guy who just won the Academy Award for Jojo Rabbit. I can't pronounce his name. He's from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
He also was the guy in Thor Ragnarok. The funny guy. He was basically the Dave Bautista archetype character in Thor Ragnarok. Or that guy. So it's him. It's Jermaine Clement. He's one of the guys from Flight of the Conchord, the guy with the dark rim glasses. And the other people, I don't know, but it's a documentary where they follow these vampires around.
Mockumentary.
Yes, and it is fucking 10 out of 10. And it's so funny, they made a series out of it, and I think season 2 just came out. And the TV series is great, too, but check the movie out. The movie's only, it's 90 minutes, and it's you just crack up the whole time.
I got a coworker who keeps talking about that show.
Oh, it's so great. Yeah, it's really, really good. 100% you guys should watch that.
Well, we got, this is actually for the first week in a while. By the way, this is the first week where I was starting to get really like, I miss being out and about. It was really hitting me for the first time this week. But this, from a TV standpoint, is to me the best week we've had in a while. We had the Last Dance, the Bulls documentary premiered Sunday night. Tonight, Monday night. You know, we're all fans. We have the Better Call Saul finale. Tomorrow night, I got my Grammys tribute to Prince. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have NFL draft stuff, and the NFL draft. And you're going to be on the air, right, Joe?
Yeah. Now, I got a confession to make, right? So we had a meeting about the draft, right? What are we going to do? And Kirk doesn't, when he does the draft, he needs somebody to fill in for him to do his show, right? And, Rick Strauss, he says to me, he's a program director at 98 Rock. He says, "Hey, would you care if Rob used your studio?" And I go, I guess I wouldn't care, but it's my house. I'll just go do it. So I actually took work from you. So I apologize. But
I thought you said you were worried about me financially.
Well, I mean, if you need the money from that, I'll just give it to you. But I'm on from 2 to midnight. So I'm
Thursday, right? The 20.
Well, I also,
it's
Thursday, but you know, I guess the irony is, you know, Kirk could also, we're just in our house. You know, how easy.
But you're going into the studio.
Right. So he's like, I need to, and I'm not shitting on Kirk, whatever he needs to do. And, you know, and it's also different because, you know, he's a full timer there and I'm not, but I'm just like, well, I'm not going to sit there and watch you do this. I'm just going to go do it. So at 2 o'clock on Thursday, I'll just come in right where I am right now. And we tested it all out and, you know, it works perfectly. And I'll be on with Kirk and Marianne from I'll be on with Marianne from 2 to 7. And then we start our draft coverage and I'll be on doing the draft from 7 to midnight.
Well, that's a heck of a day, man. A lot of Joe Robinson on 98 Rock. We talk about this, but you're doing draft prep. Like, you know about all these players.
I know more about this draft than I've ever known about any draft. This is what the first round. So if you mention a player that could potentially go in the first round, I would know who that is. And normally, you know, that's something I would never know. And I have a good idea of what the Ravens are going to try to do. And to be honest with you, here's the fear. I guess the biggest fear. So I'm going to be on from 2 to midnight. I'm going to be on for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance, I would say it's less than 50%, but it's probably in the 20s that the Ravens don't even have a pick.
Yeah, they could trade out of that spot, and you're just in there just BSing.
Yeah, now for the purpose of what, I mean, it's a little sportsy, Robbie, so I apologize, but just to explain it. So the positions that the Ravens need, right, they need a wide receiver. Well, they don't need that. They'd like a wide receiver. They need an inside linebacker, and they need help on the edge, an edge rusher, right, defensive end. Okay, that's what they need, or outside linebacker, however, but they play a four, whatever, I don't want to get into all that. But they draft 28th, and there are three linebackers that I think are on their right radar. One is Isaiah Simmons, who will be long gone, right? So there's two other guys, Kenneth Murray and Patrick King, that they would take if available at those spots. But they have a lot of draft picks. I think they have 7 picks in the first 4 rounds, okay? So they're if they can get their hands on one of the top 3 receivers, right? So Judy, Ruggs, and or C.D. Lamb, right?
Well, Robbie's going to edit all of this out.
Right. Then they'll trade. They could possibly trade up and try to grab one of those guys. But if they can't, and then those two linebackers are gone, well, what are they going to do? They could use some. Sorry, guys. They could use some interior line help because they just lost Marshall Yanda. But you know, they could probably get that in the second round. So.
Joe showing off his Ravens and his draft knowledge.
Well, my whole point is that, you know, I could, there's a good 1 in 5 shot that I'm on there for 10 hours and I never say a name.
Yeah, I look, I'll be watching. I don't know if I'll be listening to you, but I'll definitely, you know, I'm realizing I am definitely missing sports. I mean, there's only a few things that give me great pleasure in this world. And I'm always, with being a sports fan and liking basically every major sport, there's and golf and tennis and boxing, there's always something to look forward to on the sports calendar, and now we're in this, you know, abyss of nothing to look forward to. So finally there's something that's actual, not a game, but it is a real life sporting event.
So what you're saying is that you won't, because you said you probably won't listen to us, you won't turn down Todd McShay and Mel Kiper to hear McEwen and Robinson. You don't want to hear our insight. And listen,
maybe I'll, when we get close to the Ravens pick, I think I will. Maybe I'll give you guys a little listen to see what the breakdown is. See if you and Kirk can get it right.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was telling him, because I was talking to him in the meeting, and, you know, it's 10 minutes in between picks, right? But also, if you trade, you get extended time, and they're also extending the time to take into consideration that there might be some technical mm-hmm. issues, right? Well, if you just take 28, now, there's no time for the first pick. That happens when it happens. No, actually, no, they go on the clock for 10 minutes. So
yeah, it's stupid.
If they pick right when they're supposed to, it's 280 minutes.
A long time.
That's 4 hours, right? So it's possible that they're picking at 1 a.m. These, I mean, I don't know if they've taken this.
It won't go that long. I don't think so. I don't think that's not likely.
Well, I think last year it was midnight, right?
Yeah, well, the telecast, they say 8 to 11:30. So, but last year they also had the last pick too. So I think you'll be in the 11-15-ish range.
Well, I remember one year when you and I did it and we,
I do remember that. Yeah. They drafted Rashad Perriman bust.
There's two significant things there. He was the last pick and you were worried about them not getting a pick because if they traded out of that spot, you're not good. Then we were there for nothing. But also, the big story then was the Freddie Gray thing was going on. It's very similar to this, is that there was a curfew, you weren't allowed out.
Yeah, that's right.
So much like now, if you want to travel around, you have to carry around a note saying that you're an essential employee, which by the way, we had. Remember that? We had that note.
Were you getting paid for that? Because I wasn't.
No, you would come in and help me, which I appreciated. But yeah, I definitely got paid for that.
So what you're saying is I came in and helped you for free, and now... And your chance here to return the favor, you've stolen this gig from me.
Well, you know, I'm not to get defensive, like I don't get jokes, but I do try to give you as much work as I can. When they come in and say, hey, will you fill in for a week? I always say, can you give 2 or 3 days to Rob? You know that I do.
Yeah. I do. But if people that are concerned about me financially, a lot of people have actually been very kind and have, give me some Venmo and PayPal stuff. Not Cash App like Gramps is now, but shout out to my friend Jeremy who keeps Venmoing me money. And it's getting uncomfortable, but I do greatly appreciate it. But hopefully on this Friday, when the website is now available in Maryland for gig workers to apply for unemployment, that will go seamlessly and I'll have zero financial stress.
Here's something that, I don't know if you know this, but you know, they gave some grants to small businesses. So I'm like, well, I don't know if you've looked into it, but I'm like, oh, let me look into it, right? And I did, and we missed it by 4 days. I looked at April 10th, and April 6th was the deadline. So there was probably money available for Die Laughing Productions.
Yeah, I mean, when I log into our Wells Fargo, it immediately says you can sign up. But it's my understanding that you have to pay that back unless you prove that you have to pay them. You have bills, and we don't have bills. We don't have employees that we have to pay. It seemed like to me we weren't really going to get that, but I didn't look into it.
Yeah, if you got that money, 75% of it had to go to payroll, and you had to keep it in a separate account.
Okay, no problem.
We don't have payroll, so like that.
Oh, because everybody's 1099, it wouldn't work?
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. So we would just be getting I thought we would be getting a loan, but we'd have to pay it back, and it's like, what's the point of that?
Yeah, no, not interested in that. Well, good. I'm glad you looked into it.
Yeah, but we do have extra money in the account because we're going to buy all those T-shirts.
No, you're going to probably need that money, so we'll talk about that coming up. Depends on how long we're inside.
Well, look, hey, if I get unemployment, I'm totally fine. So I don't know when gigs are going to start again. I know the improv virtual Zoom show for them, a Zoom comedy kumite on May 1st. Go to dcimprov.com. It's $5 to get in that, and you can watch me lose another kumite, worst kumite record of all time.
What do you do? Do you just, it's a Zoom, and you're the only one talking, and everybody watches you tell your jokes?
Yeah, there's 8 comics. We each do 4-minute sets, and then the audience picks a winner. Usually they do it, by an applause meter. Obviously, it's just going to be about votes now. So, I mean, look, it's just a show to do. It's fun.
Right. But you worry because, the crowd isn't laughing. So, but I guess you can't bomb.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
I have some jokes that can be told in a more conversational fashion. So I feel like that's sort of the route to go. But at the end of the day, it's who cares? It's just something to do.
No, I'm with you.
So I know we have a date in June, the Brightbox. So who knows? That's Virginia. June 13th. We also got June 20th in Jim and John out of Virginia. But hey, my July and August and September are looking good for comedy. So we'll see if we can make it to that point. I'll be just fine.
Don't try to buy tickets for Jam and Java, though. They're not there yet.
Not on the site yet. I know. What's I reached out to them just to say, hope you're well. And then hoping they would realize that it's not up yet. But I'll respond this week. Stay safe out there, everybody. Enjoy another week of the quarantine. Listen to 98 Rock Thursday night. Actually, all day Thursday. You get
That's 10 hours
of Joe Robinson.
Who knows? Maybe I'll be on in the morning.
Let's hope so.
All right, man.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.